So don't try to speculate. But we do know that it definitely cannot be another 100 years. It's very long for that time. And it looks like it will possibly be less than that, of course. And we'll possibly cross the 2000 year mark. But we have entered the last day. The last day has begun. And the clock is now going by the hour. And each hour is like each move of God. Each hour was like several decades. And then we have several types of revival that come to the church. We have the Pentecostal revival that came. We have the Charismatic revival that came. We have the Word revival that came. We have the Healing revival that came. We have all kinds of revival that are happening all within one century. Never before in the history of the church. And so in the last hour of the last day, last hours could mean a decade or two, that we enter into the last great move of God, the last one. And after the fourth vision is fulfilled, in that one day, as Joshua the high priest is clothed, the church will be raptured. And all the other visions apply to the Jews. By the fourth vision, the rapture has taken place, and we are here at the area that we have divided chronologically along the platform here, right in the pulpit area. The rapture. Now, for the church, for the Jews, the fourth vision represents the complete restoration of the temple worship. Do you know that up to today, they have not built their third temple yet? The first temple was built by Solomon. The second temple was built by Ezra, renovated by Herod, and then called Herod's temple, but destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. And the third temple has never been built. Jewish sacrificial worship, following the Mosaic law, has never been restored ever since 1948. When they came together. And what the Bible predicts, all this will take place possibly, or just post, slightly after post rapture, the restoration of Joshua the priest to the Jews. See, in that fourth vision, there are four fulfillments. One historical, and in Zechariah's time, and one in Jesus, number two, in Jesus dying on the cross, taking our sins, and number three, in the church age, number four, in the Jewish age, in that one vision. We have here in the Jewish age, in Joshua being clothed, the third temple being formed, all the sacrifices all being formed. If you read current developments, they have even tried to produce what they have called the red heifer, because it has gone out and they're trying to genetically produce it for the day that they have the third temple built. It's remarkable. The events are leading towards that. And that will be the fourth vision for the Jews. For the church, fourth vision, we are taken up. Now, from that point onward, we will have to work together with the book of Revelation for clarity of this book. It's a marvelous book once you understand the book of Zechariah. So you need to have one finger on Zechariah and the other on Revelations. Just for a brief knowledge of Revelations, later on we'll teach in detail. Chapter 2 and 3 is still the church age. And if you divide the book of Revelations also chronologically in order, chapter 4, verse 2, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne sat in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So chapter 4 concludes definitely a movement. In the book of Revelation, there are several movements. And at end of each movement, the scene is in heaven, and the angels and the elders are worshipping in heaven. If you ever read the book of Revelation, there is like a song. There's many movements. It's just like when we sing a hymn or a song, you have the stanza, then you go to the chorus, then you have another stanza, then you go to the chorus, and another stanza, then you go to the chorus, and then maybe you got four stanzas, you go to the fourth stanza, then you go to the chorus. The book of Revelation is like that. You have the stanzas, then the chorus. The chorus is when you see the heavenly vision, and they're always singing hallelujah to the Lamb, and the heavenly, and they're worshipping. Then it comes down again, some more things happen. Then it goes up again, oh, they're doing all kinds of things. Those are the choruses in the book of Revelation. It's like a big song. And in chapter 4, it's like the end of the first stanza, and they're not singing the chorus. In chapter 4, and many scholars agree, that's where the church got raptured. So chapter 5, all those things are taking place in heaven. And in chapter 6, begins the last week of Daniel. The last 7 years. So from chapter 6 onwards, is Jewish dispensation in the book of Revelation. So you begin to see the two types and follow along. And so just as the fourth vision of Zechariah ends in the rapture, chapter 4 of Revelation ends in the rapture. And chapter 5 are activities that took place in heaven, or the book of Revelation. That means that the fourth vision begins the Jewish dispensation. The fifth vision begins the Jewish dispensation in the book of Zechariah. Now back to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. He saw a vision of the lampstand and the olive trees. As we said, we could apply it in three ways. The fifth vision. We're talking about the fifth vision. Have you got it? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. Okay. It says here, verse 2. What do you see? I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold, a bowl on top, and on the stand, seven lamps, seven parts to the seven lamps. Verse 3, two olive trees are by it, one on the right of the bowl, the other on the left. Three fulfillments. Number one, historical. The two olive branches, olive trees that is, represent Shua and Zerubbabel, who were alive in Zechariah's time. And so his prophecy, historical, to encourage them to keep building the temple. They are like the two anointed ones of God in Zechariah's time. And they must be encouraged to finish the building of the temple and the leading of God's people. So the historical fulfillment is already taken place in Zechariah's time. The two olive trees represent what we call Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. Then the church fulfillment that we apply in the book of Haggai is where the two olive trees can be represented as given in the book of Romans, that there's a wild olive and there's an original olive. The wild olive represents the church, and the original olive represents the nation of Israel, and how we, the wild olive branches, were grafted into the olive tree. And so there is a church representation and teaching. But remember that everything in the Bible after Zechariah chapter 4 eschatologically apply to the Jewish dispensation, but the principles can still always apply to the church. Remember that. That's why we can have ask the Lord for rain in the time or day of the latter rain. All those can still apply. So the principles can still apply, but the actual eschatological fulfillment now began to directly apply to the Jewish dispensation. And so the two olive branches, and the sixth fulfillment is that they could represent the nation of Israel and the church. The third fulfillment, which is the eschatological true fulfillment, is the two olive branches, olive trees, represent the two witnesses that will come during the first 3.5 years. The moment Antichrist is manifest, God also makes sure there are two manifested prophets coming about, because they still need a voice. And in chapter 4, in verse 12, Zechariah further asks, what are these two olive branches that drop into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which are the golden oil drains? Then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. Who are these two anointed ones? As we say, there are three fulfillment. One historical, one ecclesiastical, and one Israelite fulfillment, which is the true actual one. In the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. Now, isn't that reference direct? It is a precise, exact fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 4. You can't run away from that. And these two olive trees are described just as in Zechariah's time. They have Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest strengthening the people in the first restoration. In the time of the first 3.5 years of the last week of Daniel, God puts two of his prophets there, the two anointed ones. They will stand and strengthen the nation of Israel. While the false Messiah tries to come, the two prophets will keep warning the people. And so in chapter 11, it says in verse 3, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1260 days, which is divided by 360, 3.5 years. And it says in verse 6, these have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and their power over waters to turn them to blood, and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. These are the two prophets. One of them definitely is Elijah. The other is a subject of great debate by scholars. Some think it's Moses. Some think it is Enoch. And some think that is John the Baptist, which is the most weakest argument. We will not go into that until we reach the book of Revelation. But just to let you know, I lean towards the Enoch group. And so, well, it's no point trying to start a different denomination by saying I'm in the Enoch group, you're the Elijah group, and start different denominations. These are things that are not essential. I mean, these things are going to take place after the rapture, or these are going to take place in the tribulation. Even that Christians quarrel because some of them want to go to a rapture. They want to be tribulated here in the 7 years. But it's all right. I mean, since it's something futuristic and doesn't concern that much in a Christian life, except that if a knowledge helps us, it's not necessary to quarrel about. We can disagree without being disagreeable. To disagree is to discuss facts. To be disagreeable has to do with our attitude. We have to approach it with the right attitude. We have to permit people to disagree. But basically, it is settled that there will be two witnesses raised, two prophets. And they will be functioning in the first 3.5 years of the first part of the 7 years. And they will stand against the Antichrist, and they cannot be killed until the 3.5 years are up and the desolation and of abomination is about to be shown. And because of their ministry, the 144,000 will be raised. 144,000 Israelites. A lot of Christians and some cults think that they try to make it among the 144,000. Read carefully, they are all 12,000 from each tribe of Jews. It's not a Gentile dispensation or even a church dispensation. It is a Jewish dispensation. There are 144,000 chosen witnesses to go about all the earth that God will raise in that time. So that is the fifth vision.